Welcome to the Stuff and Junk Show. We share our opinions on random subjects from interesting news, social topics, pop culture, our likes and dislikes, things you've seen, heard, or read, what we did, and what we didn't. You know, Stuff and Junk. Hello, my name is Albert.
This is Johnny.
This is Anna.
And here we go, folks. Another three-episode week, and we're kicking it off with Spoilers Please number 275 for Furiosa Mad Max Saga.
Yay.
Yay? Let's go!
Yay!
Excitement? Yay? Maybe?
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, man. That sounds ominous. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. But point is that as of now, from what I understand in the box office, Garfield...
Oh, that's definitely... We're definitely in trouble there.
Garfield is beating Furiosa at the Memorial Day weekend box office. He's getting, what's it? $31 million in the box office. Mm-hmm. And Furiosa's at 25.6. Which, for Friday to Sunday, is actually slightly worse than the Fall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So,
I mean, it wasn't going to be a big hit. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, obviously, I wanted to do well, but it was never going to do big numbers.
Yeah. And it's also one of those things where even if Garfield pulls out the upset, it's one of those things where everybody loses. You know what I mean?
Because
Garfield's not exactly crushing it. Because the overall box office is very much down.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. It's not looking good, guys. No. Hope you guys really like streaming.
You know what I mean? I know, right?
What's on HBO now, guys? What's on Netflix now?
Yeah.
With that said, as we are doing this review episode, we are going to share thoughts for spoilers afterwards. But for now, non-spoilers thoughts on Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Let's start with Anna.
I'm the most happy about this. I don't know, which is shocking because I didn't think I'd be happy. I watched it last night and I loved it so very much. Yeah, I really liked Anya Taylor-Joy. I liked Chris Hemsworth really did steal the show. So I was pleasantly, I love the lore, the expansion of the lore. Some things are changed from like the graphic novel, but that's okay. You know, things have to change. But overall, I thought it was a good addition. It kind of didn't really give us much, anything more different than what they had told us in Fury Road.
Yes.
So I'm just like, okay, like we're not learning anything new, but it helped me. I watched Fury Road today and I understood some things that we're going to talk about in the spoilers part, but there's some things that make more sense now, which I'm like, okay, I love that little bit of nugget of knowledge that I now have going in. But I think it could have been a limited series and that would have been fine.
I agree on the part where you said that it could be a limited series. Because just like you, after watching Furiosa, I actually ended up watching Fury Road. And I honestly thought it was pretty seamless going from that movie to that movie. It just like it was a natural progression of like seeing this story play out till the end. Before I go to my general thoughts, jumping.
I thought the opening few minutes of the movie were excellent. It was like a really nice setup. I was really into it. And then after a few minutes, it just went on and on and on. And occasionally over the next 2.5 hours, it would pick back up. I'd get really into it. But I never was fully engaged into the movie and stuff like that. I was kept finding motivation, inconsistent story, inconsistent stuff like that. A lot of hand waving on things that I don't think it show hand waves and stuff like that. And then by the end, by the climactic conclusion, I was like, I was kind of bored. I was kind of out of it. I kind of checked out of it and stuff like that. So, and this is very, it was very disappointing and stuff like that because I think Mad Max Fury Road was one of the best movies I've ever seen, one of the best movie experiences I've experienced. So it's disappointing. It's my final grade would be somewhere between a thumbs up and thumbs down, somewhere in the B minus range. But you know what I mean? That's being generous and stuff like that. So yeah, that's my whole thing.
Gasp.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. A lot of people went in thinking it's gonna be another Fury Road. But it was
It's a fair expectation.
It's fair.
I think between the three of us, I'm the one that was least not happy or sad or whatever. I'm the one that was least hyped about Fury Road. I really, really liked Mad Max Fury Road, but I thought it was just a series of action sequences, and that was all it was. I wanted to get more into the lore of the characters, the lore of the story, and all this stuff, but it just felt like, I guess in hindsight, it felt like the last three episodes of a TV series, essentially. Mm-hmm. And now with Furiosa, I get to see the first parts of the TV series that was missing from the last part for context. And with that, I actually liked it quite a lot, actually. Not only that, but I gotta give, for me, you said that Chris Hemsworth was the standout. I think the standout was the young girl who played Furiosa when she was young.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, we spent a lot of time with Elida Brown.
Yeah,
I was surprised how much time we spent with her.
Yeah, I think the character interactions were better in this one.
I think everybody was surprised how much time we spent with her. You know what I mean? I think everybody was surprised.
But I had no problem. That's what I'm saying. I had no problem with that. Right, so I like all the character interactions they had in this movie, compared to Fury Road, which was mostly just the action. You had little small moments of character interactions, but you kind of just have to go with it, essentially.
Yeah.
If anything else, yeah. I would argue that Fury Road had more hand waving than this one did. I think this one had a visual storytelling that kind of explained things without explaining things just by looking at it, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I actually quite enjoyed it. I like the balance between action sequences, especially that heist. There's a heist sequence in the movie that took a while, and I was completely engaged in that and all this stuff.
Oh yeah, the anxiety buildup was still there.
Yeah, I really liked it. I really quite liked it a lot. I don't know if I say a lot more because I really do feel like I just watched a TV season of this character, and like I described like I posted on social media, that Furiosa is what I would call like episodes 1 to 5 of this series, and then Fury Road is episode 6 to 8. Although there's arguably a middle one between these two movies that explains one plot line that wasn't explained in Fury Road. So, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that in spoiler. We'll get to that in spoilers.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So with that said, let's hop into spoilers for Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Normally, it's the part where I put a theme song or whatever, but because you
sing the song, man.
Give me the copyright.
Sing the song.
Sing the song, Monkey Man. Here's time for spoilers. Okay. And that was the do for you right there. Okay. Furiosa. Now, I'm curious about one thing about the graphic novel. Anna, can you explain what was in the graphic novel that was not in the movie, so to speak, and whatnot?
Well, what's his name? Chris Hemsworth's character, Dementis. He was part of like Immortan Joe's like warlords kind of thing.
In a way, he kind of was. He kind of became one, right?
In a way, he kind of became one. Yeah, but this one, he kind of had like a different origin story, so to speak. And then in the graphic novels, Furiosa is a wife, but she gets basically kicked out because she's infertile. And here, she's briefly kind of in the wife circle, but they just change a little bit, which, and then I'm kind of thinking it doesn't make sense, and I think maybe they forgot about that plot point. But Immortan Joe is pretty like locked down on his wives, so if one disappears, there would have been a lot of hoopla. Hello, Fury Road. So why wasn't there such a big hoopla when Furiosa just kind of escapes and becomes, you know,
infiltrated?
In Furiosa, when she just kind of escapes Rictus and she, you know, starts to work with the pups and what do you call them? The war boys and stuff, they never really acknowledge that she's like there.
Gone, right? Or she's gone?
Gone.
But,
yeah.
But at the same time, there was a time lapse that we don't see what happened between that.
Yeah. That's true,
her point, though. That's the
hand-waving
part.
Immortan Joe never was like, oh, Furiosa, there you are. I've been looking for you everywhere. Like, he just kind of was like, oh, hey, girl. Okay.
That's one of the two major plot holes I have. It's humongous.
It really bothered me.
It's a plot hole big enough to drive a war truck through, whatever you call that thing.
First off, Humongous was a character in a previous Mad Max movie, but go on.
Oh wow!
But I really think for that point, like when Furiosa is older, they don't recognize this as Furiosa. Even the Mentos didn't realize that was a Furiosa.
That doesn't justify why he had no in between scene where he's looking for the chick.
But they don't know her name.
That's not the point.
No,
his whole thing is having these sex slaves. That's his whole thing. I watched but the last
movie. At the same time, do you really need another longer version where they have to show him showing
it? It's a motivation.
It's a big motivation in Fury Road. Yeah. So why wouldn't he be like more freaking
even
out?
In this movie, it's a big point. He changes his whole deal with Dementis when he realizes there's a girl that he can barter for and stuff like that. It's a huge thing.
It's a big point of who Immortan Joe is. And we don't really get to the point of where how badly she hates him in Fury Road, because we just see very little interaction. Mm,
they set up the fact that she is hiding. A woman is in danger when she's a girl and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I believe more like the Fury
it's a big
Road
reveal that she's a girl. It's a but dumb pun. Dumb mistake that you made.
You're a former wife. And I would have believed it more seeing her like work through the ranks, like, okay, I didn't become a wife. I'm going to work and still get your trust as an imperator and lead your war rank.
Yeah.
Then see her work throughout the ranks, which she still could have done.
But you guys are asking questions that the movie isn't interested to answer.
But then does it
It doesn't change anything.
Yes,
it doesn't change anything.
Why is Immortan Joe so freaked out about losing his five wives?
Because those were his five wives in Fury Road. Those were his only five wives in Fury Road.
Again, he makes a whole deal based on the fact that he gets another wife. Does he not?
No, not really. It's a plot point. It's a plot point. God. It wasn't a big deal. You're using.
You literally see his whole society set up by having these women and stuff like that.
You're using a plot point that was established in Fury Road, which happens after this movie. All you know was that he bartered young Furiosa, which he didn't know the name, to be one of his wives, right?
But healthy young girl disappears.
But disappears.
You don't need to have seen the other movie. This movie also sets up the same reality. His whole hierarchy, his whole setup is based
it's
on
not
these women
important
providing
in this
milk.
Movie. Okay, no, sure. And my argument is it's not important in this movie.
So Immortan Joe loses a very healthy girl and he doesn't freak out. That's kind of where we're at.
Maybe he did, but it's not important to this movie.
Why is it not important to the movie?
He knows.
This isn't that story. This isn't that story.
We know that Furiosa is smart enough to hide. The three main characters are Furiosa, Immortan Joe, and Dementis.
Those are the three major characters and stuff.
I can't believe you guys are hang up on this. This isn't even the narrative of this movie. This is not the narrative of the movie.
All right. Here's the thing. The wives look a lot more happier than the other wives did.
That's also irrelevant. There was not that much about the wives in this movie either. There wasn't. This wasn't the narrative of this movie. The one that gives birth,
she's like, don't kick me out. I'll give you
plot
a
point.
Son. And they're like,
just a plot point. It's just
out.
A plot point. It's a plot point that will lead to the next movie, which is Fury Road.
I don't understand this counter argument. Everything is kind of a plot point. Yeah, everything's a plot point.
Right.
Pointing it out is not. It's not a thing.
Hold
on a second. If you put a pin on this. The thing is, I'm on this point because Anna brought it up. But it's consistent with the rest of the movie. It's not just this one thing where this one thing. If it's just one thing, that's fine. I'll let it go. Whatever. But it's consistent with the rest of the movie. The next point I'm going to get to, I've mentioned, was one of two major kind of plot holes I had. The second one is Dementis, Thor, had the same thing. The first 20 minutes, he's obsessed with this thing that he just found out about. This Greenland, this green thing. And that thing gets hand-waved, too. That thing's just gone, too. You know what I mean?
I can answer that myself. He can't get an answer where this green place is, this land of abundance. And somebody pointed out about the Citadel. The Citadel, which, in theory,
How much time it lasts between him getting the girl and finding out about the green place and the Citadel?
Does it matter?
Yes, it does.
How does it matter?
Why wouldn't it matter? He killed a woman over it.
He abandoned that plot for the other plot, and he didn't even be like, oh, Furiosa, are you from the Citadel? No.
Because it's right in front of him. You're thinking like these people are like rocket scientists. They're going This is a Mad Max world. Everybody's insane. Everybody's mad. Everybody who is clever is clever, but there are a lot of people who are not that clever. If it's right in front of them and they want to conquer it,
but you can't, that's what they should have for. But you can't have it both ways. Why where not? He's obsessed with one thing for one thing and he's not something. He's mad. You can't hand wave him like he's mad, he's crazy to hand wave something. Because he's smart enough to infiltrate two of the major landmarks in this land. He got the gun place, he got the gasoline place. You know what I mean? The only thing he filled was a citadel. Can't have it all these different ways and stuff like that. A movie has to be consistent throughout.
It was consistent. He couldn't figure out where the green place is for obvious reasons. And the next step is, oh, look, there's a citadel. If I can't find the green place because for obvious reasons, then here's my next plot. Here's my next thing I'm going to do. I'm going to go get the citadel. Oh, I don't know. I don't know how that's hard to understand.
The thing is, like I said, if a movie introduces storylines, ideas, and stuff like that, it's on them to have a satisfying conclusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the conclusion is the next movie.
It's the next movie. I'm watching this movie. I'm judging this movie, right? Yeah.
And
I'm
not judging the future. And once again, the narrative of the movie.
So 9 years from now, we'll come back to this plot point. Is that what you're saying? Nine years from now.
The plot has already been told in Fury Road. I don't see why you guys are hanged up on this part.
There's multiple points. I honestly think
this is nitpicking because of the fact that this is not the narrative of the movie. The narrative of the movie is Furiosa.
Furiosa. Let's give us another plot. Give us another question. I don't know.
I don't even remember where I started with this.
Okay. If you want to talk about Furiosa, that's the other thing that doesn't work. Furiosa doesn't drive this movie. Maybe the reason why I hung up on these two guys is because Furiosa doesn't drive any of this movie itself.
I disagree with that too.
What does she drive? What choices does she make? Puts any of this stuff into motion.
I feel like I wanted to see her move up the ranks more. And let me tell you this right now. I did not think I would hate another character more than Immortan Joe, and I ended up hating Dementis so much more.
Yeah.
One, because Proctarian Jack, I volunteer as his tribute, like, right now. Because I know some people are really mad about this, they don't have chemistry or whatever, but they instantly clicked, and I was like, I love this so much. How is it that Furiosa gets two of the hottest guys in this universe? Like, how is that even possible? But the other point is, I get why she connects with Max so much, because I think she saw something like that she got with Jack in this movie. So there are my things that I really wanted to talk about, because that was a big thing for me. Because I really, really, really like Praetorian Jack.
I took that relationship differently. You're referring to Fury Road in terms of Furiosa was able to get over herself and let Mad Max help her, right? I think it's because on the flip side, Praetorian Jack was able to get over himself and allow Furiosa to help him.
I like that idea. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Reversal. And Praetorian Jack, side note here, but Hideo Kojima said that he wants him to be Solid Snake in whatever live action mode.
Absolutely,
looks like him at this point. Yeah. But by the way, Praetorian Jack, the actor who plays him, fantastic job. You know, he played the role the way it's supposed to be played, from what I can tell. But it's really good, really good. You know, I didn't even know anything about this character before this movie, and him being in the movie
they completely hit him from the advertising and interviews and stuff like that.
I don't know why
in the interview circuit.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I'm sorry. Who is this guy? How am I just hearing about him? Yeah. And why do I instantly already care for him?
You have to look really carefully. I went back and looked at the trailer. You have to look really carefully to even know that he's in the movie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would be hiding him.
I have no idea,
surprise.
Yeah.
You disagree with me?
I don't know why they hit him, but I disagree. I don't think they have any chemistry together. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. I didn't see it as a romantic relationship. I saw it more like a camaraderie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what I meant. They didn't have any kind.
I like that.
They didn't have any kind of chemistry. That's my whole thing. Not romantic.
See, I disagree with that.
Like, I have no idea what's going on there. I have no idea what's happening and stuff like that.
It was an instant connection. It was her almost like. It was her almost like what she got with Max in Fury Road when they were going through the valley and they were fighting off the scavenger people. Like, that's what she almost had with Jack.
Yeah.
And she found it with Max. I don't know. Just like, I could go on about this whole relationship and how it made her who she is later on in Fury Road.
Yeah. And for right now, George Miller said he's dead. The Mantis killed him. That is right now what he said.
I know.
He told the actor, you're dead. But, you know, you don't see a body. He could retcon it. So,
they dragged his body for like from sunrise to sunset.
It's just saying, if you don't see a body, if you don't see a body,
I think he's dead, man.
Yeah, right now he is dead. According to George Miller, he's dead. But like I said, if somebody down the line who's not George Miller goes like, you know what, I'm going to resurrect the guy, the movie kind of gave it out. The movie kind of gave it out.
Given the box office, I don't think it's happening.
We're
anymore,
not getting
man.
That. We're not getting that.
Yeah, I don't think
that,
we're getting that.
Yeah.
Which is sad because I would love to have Praetorian Jack in a little bit more. But I'll take those 20 minutes I got with him because I'm like, yes, I get it. And that war rig they built, holy hell! That part of like how cars are religion, they really, I love that montage of building that war rig.
That is the one thing I like about this movie over a little bit over Fury Road is that it really leans into the mythology of all this stuff a lot more because it is like a balance between plot and action kind of thing as opposed to Fury Road, which is mostly action. The action of Fury Road is still better than Fury Road itself, but at the same time, like I said, if you see it like a series, that's the climax, so of course it has to be better, if you put it that way. And from what I understand, he actually kind of had the outline for Fury Road already in mind when they were doing Fury Road. So I guess it kind of plays out accordingly, so to speak.
It makes sense. Yeah. It totally makes sense because there are so many callbacks. Like we saw the organic mechanic. He was with Dementis first and then Joe takes him. And then even the people that were working on the war rig, one of them is, Furiosa secondhand, the one that's like follows her lead. There were so many very minor characters that if you know Fury Road as much as some people do, like me, you would be like, oh, I know that guy. I know who he ends up being, where he ends up in Fury Road. So I love the connections it had to that. Like, look, we know, like, the girl she was with at the beginning, Valkyrie.
Oh, my God. You saw Fury Road right after this, like me. And when Valkyrie died in Fury Road, I'm like, oh, my God, that's it? they have this big reunion, and then she died.
After so many years, and I was like, come on. Oh, that hurts so much.
Yeah.
And then I also like
that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I like how George Miller kind of reused actors and had them do different parts because, like, Chris Hemsworth's wife, Elsa, whatever, was a Volvani general.
Yeah.
And then she pops up again as one of the road warriors for Dementis. And in my head, I thought it was like this long con, like she conned her way into it and she was going to kill him. And then it was like, oh, she was actually playing two whole different characters. I'm like, that really messed with me, but that's okay. I like the how he did that with those actors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's been known to do that.
I do want to once again call out the whole opening act with Alayla Brown as younger Furiosa. Having that first sequence be similar to Fury Road, where it's mostly just action, I thought it was a good introduction to people who were just coming from Fury Road into this. Because like, okay, here's the Fury Road style that you guys like, and we're doing it in the first act, and also kind of they also play around with the idea that the Mantis it has somewhat of a heart in that scene, not really, but and as the movie progresses, he gets worse and worse and worse. And they play around with that with his white cloak. As the movie goes along, his white cloak gets redder and redder and darker and darker. Yeah,
and that's another issue I have with the movie. So that doesn't really get paid off. It's set up really well, but it doesn't really get paid off. In the beginning, he does have a heart. You've seen all the YouTube breakdown videos where they point out the teddy bear probably signifies that he had a child as well. That's why he's okay with the kid and stuff like that. And then he gets more and more brutal. He realizes he needs to get more and more brutal to capture these things, right? And at one point, before he captures the gasoline count, he sacrifices his men, right? And then mm-hmm. one of the guys gets paid off and he gets pissed off and stuff like that.
Yeah. But again, it's and one of those he's the one that breaks off later
right, on. Exactly. Yeah. And it's one, but the thing is, one of those things that, again, doesn't get paid off, especially in the last confrontation with Furiosa. There should have been a confrontation with one of his men or something, or there should have some sort of consequence and stuff like that. That move, the thing that she faces off with Furiosa doesn't work. It's like, it's not that, it doesn't interest me. It doesn't hold my attention and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So that's another thing that just doesn't work and stuff like that. A lot of this feels like it's set up and stuff like that, but it just doesn't come together.
I think that one is more of a thematic thing. Like the Mentis is Furiosa really going down a dark path. You know, he had tragedy mm-hmm. with his family. So did she. You know, she kind of pushed her to embrace that darkness. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really do that. She went as far as maybe what Mad Max is like, you know, rough and tumble kind of person, but not going that far where you just become an evil guy. So at the very end, when he's talking about like, hey, we were the same, man. We had family tragedy and this is just the way it is. You're going to be just like me. Mm-hmm. And the conclusion was supposed to be like, is she just like him at the end or not? And we're mm-hmm. seeing, based on Fury Road, she's not. You know, she still leans more towards the heroic side as opposed to the evil side, like the Mentis did. And so, thematically, I thought them having that showdown at the end is appropriate.
My take on that. Because she takes his, like, uses him as a life for the tree and all that.
As if you believe that.
if we believe all that. Yeah, that was a fable right there. But it kind of leads her into like, okay, I'm gonna help the wives. Even though she was very reluctant, but she still did it, and it kind of helped her redemption arc. Because she was like, fine, I'm gonna do it. But yeah, I think she had it in her head he was gonna always like she was gonna get that revenge she wanted, and then she realized, oh, this guy like he don't remember me. He don't remember my mom, like.
That's the other thing. This movie is, I didn't see a lot of the trailer and stuff, but from what I can tell from the promotion and how they're trying to sell it, it's like a revenge thing. I don't see how this is a revenge thing, man. This scene takes like 15 minutes and she's not an active person in the revenge and stuff like that. You know what I mean? She is not doing the revenge in the same sense that Kill Bill is a revenge. Every first chance she gets, she's out to kill the person that wronged her and stuff like that. For the most part, she just wants to get back to the green place and stuff like that. You know what I mean? She wants to get back to the green place with the Captain Jack and stuff like that. When Captain Jack dies and stuff like that, he tries to get back with the. He wants to take a bigger group of women and stuff like that to the green place. It's not really a revenge movie, to my opinion, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
I disagree with that too. We go, Nana.
I don't know. I don't know. I need to watch Furiosa like 5 more times.
I do see it as a revenge movie because throughout the whole thing, she has to struggle with like try to get to the green place. Or kill Dementis. And I think that was pointed out in Bullet Farm. Mm-hmm. Pretera and Jack essentially gave her like go to the green place. Even the flare was green, like go to the green place. And so she goes like, okay, so she had to decide go to the green place or save Pretera and Jack, which in terms means I'm gonna get another chance to kill Dementis.
The thing is, you see that as a strength. I see that as a witness, as a weakness and stuff, because of all the time in between and stuff like that. When you do time skips, 15 years and all that stuff, you have to imagine there's things that happen in between that time. You know what I mean? You have to be like, hey, what did she do between those 15 years? Did she ever think about Dementis?
Maybe.
Because she knows where he is. Maybe and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, wasn't it the 40-year war?
No, 40-day war.
The 40-year war is like just, somebody pointed out a good point. Like saying 40-year war or 40-day war is just saying in a long period of time. It doesn't really necessarily mean it was actually 40 days. You know, it could be literal. It could not be literal. But my point there is though is that we knew he failed. We knew she failed. If she ever tried to kill Dementis anytime between her escaping Rictus
If you're selling this as a revenge movie, you might want to show the attempt and stuff
a little
bit
more.
That's what a revenge movie is. I don't know. But okay, that's my personal definition.
That could be a marketing thing. That could be a complaint about marketing, if you want to put it that way. But mm-hmm. but for me, it was like also that she's kind of patient as well. I mean, between Furiosa and Fury Road, how long did it take her for to come up with the plan of actually getting the wives out of the Citadel?
A while. But see, that's the thing. She had to work her way up to be an Imperator to get control of the war rig, to get some sort of like power in order to get that far.
Yeah, I feel so like that was also the same case when she escaped Rictus. You know, she
that logic makes sense, but it's just for me, the impression I get is like these women who I think she should have a better or strong connection to seems like they were a sloppy second to Captain Jack and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Oh, Captain Jack, I could get out of here, Captain Jack, but oh, these chicks, the chicks I saw 15 years ago, you know what? They still might be a bad spot. I want to go back and save
those
them.
Those aren't the same wine.
Yeah,
it's wines,
yeah, they've aged
out.
By the way, just a minor issue. That's another thing. I don't like it when the marketing and all the people that review it, they call it wives. They're sex slaves and stuff like that.
That's the lore. That's the lore. They're wives.
No, by name because, only.
But because Immortan Joe is calling them that. That's not what you shouldn't use that label. They're sex slaves. Wives implies consent. There's no consent there. There's the sex slaves and stuff like that.
If anything else, even the characters in the movies that isn't Immortan Joe calls them breeders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
they know
true.
What's up.
Yeah, no, they do.
They know what's up. But also after watching Fury Road, I guess I didn't catch this line then, but I did catch it the second time I watched it. It's implied that the wives ask Furiosa to get them out.
They do. Yeah. They do.
So there's that.
They do. They that's why Furiosa is very reluctant, but Immortan Joe had to sign her to protect them for Rictus, and they really had to convince her a lot because she did not want to do it. She was against taking them. And finally, they convinced her, and we're like, "Okay, we're gonna we're gonna do it."
Tough look for her and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You would think she has a very special, money understanding, empathetic bond with these women and stuff like that.
But
you know what I mean? It's
a tough look. It's a team, but it's a team of George Miller's Mad Max universe, though. You know, as good as you think you are, as heroic as you think you are, you're still struggling in terms of like, do I help them or do I just try and survive on my own? Exactly. And that seems to be an ongoing theme in all these movies. So,
that's true.
There's that.
That part I understand. It's just a tough look to introduce that Captain Jack character in the middle of all this and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Captain Jack. Yeah. Can I just say
it just seems like Dick was on a higher priority. You know what I'm saying? It's just a tough look. You know what I mean?
I'm not gonna disagree with you on that because I was like all about him.
Yeah, it's especially when the whole largest theme of the movie to me is the world is in balance. This is like toxic masculinity, anger, and fury at its most hardcore and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're here because of nuclear explosion of dudes and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And then there's a complete imbalance into the world. You know what I mean? The world is like 99% dude energy, nasty male energy, and that 1% female energy. And then to prioritize Captain Jack's dick over all these women that are sex slaves and stuff like that, it's a tough look for the movie. It's a rough look for her and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Fair. That's a fair opinion. I see it.
And also, I want to go back to
Before you go back, real side note here. Doctor Who's latest episode that came out the same weekend as Furiosa has a plot line regarding Mad Jack.
Look at that.
Wow.
Synergy. I don't know if it's synergy or just coincidence or what.
It's all coming together.
Okay.
Okay, good job.
You guys mentioned about how the action sequences and how it looks. I do want to point out that I disagree. And I also want to point out the cinematographer from Mad Max Fury Road is different from the one in this one.
Yeah, you can tell.
You can totally tell. The Mad Max of it all. I mean, I'm very high on it. Like I said, it's one of the best movies I've seen and stuff. The thing that struck me about the movie I was watching is I couldn't tell between the difference between CGI and practical effect because I thought a bunch of stuntmen died making that movie. You know what I mean? Like, how did that person survive? How did that person survive that? You know, in this one, I was like, oh, that's CGI. That's all. Especially when
there's a lot of CGI.
Yeah, like I could tell it's kind of CGI. Even during the best sequence with the war rig and stuff like that, even that part, I said, that's CGI and stuff like that. It's green screen and stuff like that. What do you call it?
Especially that green screen. They were actually filming in Australia, so there's that. But the cars falling, it looks CGI to me.
The Anna Taylor-Joy under the car definitely looked like, you know, hey, dude, we're doing this against the green screen and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And also the sequence where Chris Hemsworth pulls up with 100 bike riders to the Citadel the first time. It's like, oh, this isn't it, guys.
I you know loved what I mean? His war chariot motorcycle thing. That was
drive that,
cool.
By the way. Are the pedals on his seat and stuff like that? Because it can't be where his hands are with the, you know
no,
what I mean?
No, I noticed, right? Like the reins were tied to the handlebars.
Yes,
I don't
that's,
know.
That's the impression I got. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, I know the feet thing. I thought he was doing it with his feet.
But the thing is, though, is that if the Methodist is going to call his biker gang a horde, they better show that on film. And the only way to do that, really, unless they want to hire all these actors, is CGI. So I don't blame them for that.
I mean, that's fair.
These are all choices, but are these choices well made? Are these
I thought
well
they were.
Done?
I thought they were perfectly good.
I think it lacked a certain je ne sais quoi that Free Road had, like the editing and the cinematography.
Sure,
it wasn't there.
Just not there. Cinematography, editing. Yeah, I totally give it to Free Road. However, after watching Free Road very recently, I thought it was harder than that in terms of like the action sequence. But what I remember from when I first saw it, like, wow, look at all these stunts. And then I watch it now and I'm like, those are good. And then that was it. I'm like, those are impressive. But then that was it. I thought it was more explosive and more dangerous. And yeah, it was dangerous and explosive,
man,
I thought in my rose colored glasses, I thought it was even more than that. I kind of made it bigger than in my head than it would.
So I saw it in my second viewing.
I don't know about that. I really don't know about that.
I rewatched it twice. I rewatched it once in black and white. It holds up and stuff like that. It's pretty
No, I'm saying it holds up. I'm just saying that we're making it sound like it was like the most dangerous stunts you've ever seen. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking,
I thought some of them died because there's no way that could have been done in practical effects because it was so good.
They were doing Cirque du Soleil stuff, which is something that you normally could do
on the road, on the freeway.
That's the difference on the road. Yeah. That's the difference. Sure. But I thought it was. I don't know. I thought it was more dangerous in my head. And when I rewatch it, I go, no, that's doable. I can see why they were able to pull it off.
I think we learned that Albert thinks he can be a stuntman. If there's a takeaway from this podcast.
I'm just saying, after watching Furiosa and also Furiosa, I definitely don't think I could be a stuntman, okay?
I think Albert thinks he can win an Oscar for best stuntman.
I'm just saying.
He's got this.
I've seen stunt work in kung fu movies that look dangerous because they look like they actually hit each other. But I'm saying
he can take a fall. He can take a hit. He can take a karate chop.
How about this? The stunt work in Fall Guy is equal or better than what was done in Fury Road. How about that?
Wow, look at that.
Whoa,
hot takes, man.
I have to watch Fall
I've seen
Guy
both, and no, these hot takes
okay.
are not. I
will
not stand for these hot takes.
I don't agree with you.
They did a barrel roll in Fall Guy that topped what the barrel roll they did in Fury Road. How about that? They did falls in Fury Road that looked dangerous, and it was even Ryan Gosling who was doing that stunt in the beginning. And yeah, I'm just saying is that there's stunt work in Fury Road that pays respect to stunt work and not Fury Road in Fall Guy. And Fury Road did the same exact thing except in cars, and I thought. In my head, I thought it was more dangerous. And I'm like, I was waiting. Wow. I was rewatching it and waiting. Like, okay, where's the really, really dangerous scene?
There's something wrong with your head. I think you need your head checked out.
Basically, right now, I'm not surprised nobody died. How about that?
Okay. Wow,
Mr. Condescension. You know, Albert's hot take. Overpaid.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like
it didn't look like real work.
I'm saying is that moviegoers are hyping up the stunt work in Fury Road.
Like a day at the park.
Nope. Did not say that. So there.
Anybody can do it.
Change the subject.
Did not say that. Put words in my mouth. Didn't say that.
Albert says, put me in the car. I got this. I can do it.
I can do Cirque du Soleil down the freeway. Just put me on a pole. I can do it.
Sorry.
There is one plot point that neither movie explains, and that's Crotus, the other son. Furiosa, he was there. Fury Road, he wasn't there.
But the other son wasn't there either, so we know that he clearly was born after this.
I wasn't paying attention to names.
Well,
there's a character, named Scrotus.
Oh, Scrotus is the same actor who is in Fury Road as the second hand to Nux in the car.
But not so playing the same guy. Not playing the same guy.
No, he's not playing the same guy. No, but it's the same actor. So Scrotus.
So my question now is Scrotus in the graphic novel, Anna?
He is in the video game.
That's right. That's where I'm going to. He is in the video game. He's the main bad guy in the video game that Mad Max, spoilers to the video game, kills. Right? And that's the reason why he's not in Fury Road. And that's the reason why in the beginning of Fury Road, he's being chased by those guys is because he killed Scrotus.
He killed Scrotus. Yeah.
He killed Scrotus? Anna, you had a point.
I had a point about Scrotus.
but you had another point earlier. I think you said
into like his brother Rictus. I knew he was creepy in Fury Road, but damn, was he so creepy when he stole Furiosa. Mm-hmm. And I get that, like, I know Ramon and Joe like probably knew that's why he put Furiosa in charge of them later on. But oh my, I was so actually terrified during that scene because I was like, I don't want to know what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I really don't. I'm scared. Rick just like scared me, but it was so scary what she went through in those small parents.
It's a good thing she made that wig. She was all ready and stuff
like that. Oh my gosh, she was ready. It's like she's so smart. She knew what she had to do. So it was very
I also want to mention real quick. I've been shitting on this movie a little bit, but I want to mention a couple of things I did like. I did like the war rig sequence in the middle of the movie.
Best sequence in the movie.
I think that it's really good. Even though I had problems with some of the CGI stuff, I thought it was really excellent stuff like that. The other thing I really liked is actually the mother and stuff in the opening few minutes and stuff like that. She's really good. She's a really good actress and stuff like that.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I would have liked to have seen more with her. I thought it would be ballsy if she took a shot and killed her kid and stuff like that. I knew it was going to happen, but I thought, wow, that'd be really good. She would go that far to protect the green place and stuff like that. So those are a couple of things that I did enjoy about the movie and stuff like that. And I did like Chris Hemsworth, even though, like I said, I don't think the script is doing him any favors and stuff like that, but I do think he really went for it, and I appreciate it. And also, I did like the history guy. The history guy, even though he started the movie at like 900 years old, jumps 15 years and he's still alive somehow, looks exactly the same, but that's fine. But I do like that part of the mythology. I did like the fact that he kind of knows knowledge, and even what he doesn't know, he has a tattoo it on his body, memento style and stuff like that. I like that a lot and stuff like that. So yeah.
Well, maybe the history guy is kind of like Patrick Stewart, where in the 80s he looked like he was already kind of old. And then he stayed looking like that for the next 30 years.
You know? Did you see his skin?
He's
not moisturizing out there, man.
No, he's not. It would have been more weird if he would have ended up being the historian that was teaching the wives, but at least that was different. So when Furiosa loses her arm, I thought it was going to be a bigger deal, but it was just like, oh, she just cut off her arm.
Now that's a plot hole. Oh, how'd you do that? What's your answer to that?
I don't think she cut it off. I think she just, it was.
She bit it off?
No. I was actually a little bit paying attention to it because I think her arm was already damaged from the car crash and stuff like that.
Yes, it was. It was already like halfway there.
Yeah, you could tell she was kind of like hanging on barely. It was kind of like ripping apart when they hooked her and stuff like that. Mm. And by the way, that's another tough look for Demetrius or Dementis, whatever his name is. Hey, the chick is tattooing something on her arm. You might want to pay attention to that.
No one noticed it.
Here comes Albert with it. Oh, you're nitpicky. Oh, nitpicky.
They're not rocket scientists.
Hold on a second. Here's another nitpick and stuff like that. Every dude in that garage has hairy armpits. Hey, how about the dude that's hairless and stuff like that? You know what I mean? Maybe that's not a guy. Maybe someone should pay attention to that. How about that? You know what I mean?
She was well covered, though. I thought she was well covered, though.
No, she wasn't. I was paying attention to that and stuff like that. This is going to sound really creepy. This is one of the things I pay attention to in futuristic apocalyptic movies or television shows. Like, do they make that choice where they shave armpits on women and stuff like that? You know what I mean?
They never use
like sort of modern beauty standards for women and stuff like that.
I still go under the impression that the people of this world after a nuclear holocaust or whatever are just kind of like, you know, they're not all there.
That's another kind of thing I didn't like about the movie. It kind of, especially coming off the last one, the fact that there are certain scenes where it's like in the Citadel, where it's like kind of every work a day and stuff like that, it's like a slice of life. There's a couple. I don't think that works and stuff. At one point, like I said, when the girl escapes and he's out in the terrace, and then he's the other guy says, "Oh, what are you doing out here?" Like it's just another work day for them. And the next scene is like them working on the war machine, the war thing. It's like, "Hey, guys, come on in. We have to have another project and stuff. We have to build this car." That doesn't really jive for me. Really? And stuff like that. You know what I mean?
But it's their religion.
Yeah, I understand that. But to me, the fact that, to me, based on the last movie, it seems like everybody in that cell should be on crack. Everybody should be on a mile a minute. Everybody should be on meth. You know what I mean? The fact that I know it's part of the movie where they're kind of slowing it down to kind of get into the mythology of this whole wasteland stuff. But to me, it doesn't work for me. And so I like it when it goes 100 miles per hour. I like it like everybody's on crack, cocaine, and stuff like that. They're just going 100 miles per hour. You know, survival is. You say the wrong thing to one person, and it's like you're gonna get stabbed. You know what I mean? You're gonna get shanked and stuff like that. That's the Mad Max I like. That's the Mad Max I love.
So, but this is like what 40 years after civilization broke down, so they still kind of have it going on, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and then by Fury Road, they're already like, oh, gotta be on meth.
No, but something. The thing is, like I said, Fury Road is an action sequence, like stretched out to 2.5 hours.
This
or whatever.
Is the story to build up.
Yeah, this is the story that leads to that.
Can I point something out?
Okay.
That diversity dies by Fury Road because there are so many diverse characters in this movie, and then there is hardly any of that in Fury Road. Okay. So there you go, folks. Diversity dies later on in the movie.
Well, it's on in Australia. There weren't that many.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus remember the plot line in Fury Road is that the war boys are essentially dying constantly,
yeah.
Right?
And
they need to
get
blood bags to keep themselves.
But they have great abs, though, somehow. Yeah. Some of them have great abs.
I imagine that.
It's been incest for hundreds of years, but the abs are better than
it's from working from all the war rigs in the cars and whatnot. Yeah.
But in speaking of diversity, you know the original casting for Captain Jack is, right? Who was originally cast?
No.
It's Yaya Batista, number 2.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. Sure. Yeah.
He was originally cast.
Who's that?
That he's Black Manta in Aquaman.
Oh,
He was Candyman in the new Candyman.
He's Candyman. Yeah.
Okay, is he better outside of Aquaman? Because he was a little bit.
He's better outside of Aquaman.
He's a great actor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's better
so
outside
I would have been okay with him being Captain Jack.
He was the Morpheus in the Matrix Revolution?
Yes, that's right. He was. Well, the Morpheus sequel, so to speak, in
okay.
Yeah, in that one. Yeah. You know, he's
really
hot. He's a good actor. He's a good actor.
He's really hot. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, he could do it. He could totally have played the role. Yeah, he totally.
Okay. I ship it.
But at this point on, you know, I think the guy's name is Tom Burke, right? Am I wrong about that?
Yes. Oh my God.
No, I think at this point he's Captain Jack.
But right now, Tom Burke owns that role. Like, I do not see anybody else playing Praetorian Jack. You know, nobody else. It's his role. And once again, hey, future writers, didn't see a body. You can bring it back.
It's the Mad Max world. They're all dead. I really like that part where, like, her first attempt to escape and, you know, she's under the rig. The mechanic is just like hands her, it's like, here, fix it. And she does it. I don't know why I like that scene, but I was like, damn, like, this whole.
She's very capable.
Yeah, very capable. It worked out so well. And,
even in the beginning of the movie where she sees the biker gang in the green place. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, why are you approaching them? Right? But she knew the rule of the land. You know, you don't let outsiders know where the green place. And she was out to sabotage the bikes. You know, and I guess didn't click on me until like a few minutes later. Like, oh, that's the reason why she was even there. You know, because it's so easy to just blame her, to victim blame her. Like, well, that's why you got kidnapped. You suck your nose where you didn't belong. But no, she was doing a job and then she got kidnapped.
So. Yeah. She's following the rules and
Very tragic.
Didn't work out for her.
You know, very tragic.
Very
so
tragic.
After watching.
Well, and her mom could have killed that lady and would have not caused the end chain of what happened to her. But she had compassion because she was coming from the green place.
The world of Mad Max. It's the world of Mad Max, you know.
It's the world of Mad Max.
She didn't show a sign of weakness. But speaking of Fury Road, Green Place, after watching Fury Road, after Furiosa, the scene when Charlize learns that the green place is no more, it was even 10 times more tragic to watch at that point.
Yeah.
Because you're, I mean, my mindset was like this journey of her getting kidnapped and then trying to get back to the Green Place and watching Fury Road again, seeing that scene, devastating. Much more devastating than when I first watched it. Yeah.
Because I thought the Green Place kind of was like the Citadel, where it was just green, but there was so much there that got lost, and she lost it all, you know? Oh, my God, that scene really hit hard now. You're right. Oh, Fury Road. It just hit so much harder because of Captain Jack.
Yeah. And so essentially, after plot-wise, listeners, if you're not familiar with the game, and I'm not sure about the graphic novel, but after Dementus lost, is dead and lost the gas town, Scrotus took over. And then when Scrotus was killed by Mad Max, what's-his-face took over. Was it the People Eater? Or was he Bullet Farm? One of those two.
No, it was People Eater, because Bullet Farm has that one guy.
Right, right. Because in Fury Road, you see all of them with what's his name, Immortan Joe, in the Citadel. Yeah. And I guess after the events of this movie and the video game and the graphic novel, they had to go to those towns as well.
Yeah, so they have to. Which makes sense. So I was like, wait, what are you doing there? But then I'm like, okay, I get it now, because those towns are left without their people. So that's why they did it.
I do feel like I can't watch Fury Road unless I watch Fury Rosa. I really am, in my mind, I'm really thinking of this like a TV series where I have to watch episode one all the way till the end. And I can't see each one by individual now. I have to see it as a whole.
Well, I love how the end credits had snippets of Fury Road.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is how you do it. You know, like I immediately wanted to go home and watch Fury Road, but it was like 1 a.m. in the morning. So I watched it today. And I'm just like, I get it. Like, I just need to, and now I want to go watch Furiosa because I watched Fury Road. Like, it's this cycle that I'm going to be stuck in for the rest of my life.
What I was kind of hoping they did in the end credits was make another trailer for Fury Road. Kind of like,
like
you watch Furiosa, here's a trailer for the next movie, which we already saw. You know, but play it off like you haven't seen Fury Road yet.
Furiosa will return.
Yeah, they should have done that. Like, I was kind of hoping they did.
After an hour of this podcast, I realized something. I realized the three of us watched two different movies and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's just apparently. We watched a different movie 9 years ago with Mad Max, and we watched a different movie this year and stuff. It's remarkable. I have no idea what's going on. I don't think any of this was necessary, this last movie. So they provide none of the context needed. It didn't make the other one better, and it made the other one look bad, to be honest with you, and stuff like that. All that stuff was unnecessary.
So, and anyway, I disagree.
We could have lived without Furiosa, been fine, because everything they told us in Fury Road happens in Furiosa. We don't get anything new, aside from Captain Jack.
I believe that Max has a certain amount of poetry. I think the audience has to bring some knowledge of the world and how imbalanced our world is, and you superimpose that into Mad Max of it all, and you know, all that stuff. I think there's a certain poetry to Mad Max that I found very lovely and stuff like that.
Talk about Fury Road, right?
No, Mad Max is all that.
Mad Max
Mad Max the
franchise
party the Charlize Theron movie and stuff like that. I think all that stuff with the green stuff that's destroyed. You know what I mean? You don't need all that backstory and all that stuff. You know what I mean? It's in Charlize's eyes and her acting and stuff like that. You know what I mean? She's already heartbroken enough. You don't need to know what it actually looks like, the wind farm of it all. Even though it looked lovely and stuff like that. And, you know what I mean?
Again, so you're saying
I think
like,
the mistake is, I think we just watched different movies and stuff like that.
Sure. But it's like you're saying, like, Star Wars prequels suck. You didn't need to watch that to watch the original trilogy.
Oh,
you know,
God.
That's kind of like what the impression I'm getting from you.
It sucked because it was racist. That's why that's why the Phantom Menace sucked.
Wait, how is that racist?
Have you watched Phantom Menace? You watched Phantom Menace recently, Anna? You didn't get all that stuff?
He's a prequel kid.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
We're not going to tangent off the Star Wars. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
I apologize for bringing it up. I'm sorry.
This is a generational gap.
Because I just watched Phantom Menace.
Okay, we'll do it later. We'll talk about it later.
Do it later.
We still have two episodes.
Can we talk about how cool it was to see Mad Max for a brief period of time?
Yeah.
We saw him.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, shit.
Well, we saw his son person. That's what we did.
Yeah. But we still saw a little bit of Max.
Yeah,
you know?
And apparently he didn't care enough for Furiosa to not give her to the people who are going to eat her.
No, he did not.
I think he saved her life.
He didn't do anything. No, he did not. He wasn't the one that dragged her there. They found her and dragged her. But yeah,
is that said in the movie though?
It's not said in the movie.
It's implied.
Wait, hold on. Time out. Anna, what did you think happened when they showed Mad Max and the Fury Road is like lying
they
there?
They kind of just, he just saw her and didn't care to like save or do anything to her.
Okay. And that was
Yaming? And the maggot people were the ones that found her and pulled her in.
Okay. I have the opposite read. I thought he dragged her to the maggot people because she needed that arm to be tourniqueted.
Well, no, he's never seen the Citadel before. He did not see the Citadel before Fury Road.
That's a tough walk for anybody, for the maggot people to. I don't think those maggot people come out of the caves, though. Isn't that the whole thing? They don't leave the caves.
No, they were outside the caves when Dementis came out.
Yeah, to drag people in. That's my read. My read of them, they just go out enough to drag people in, like those bugs, those spiders thing that have like a little holes under the ground, and then if another bug gets close enough, they'll come out and drag them underneath. That's my read of it. You know what I mean? They're like
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I agree with John Meng on this point in this episode. My original impression was that Mad Max thought, oh, she belongs to the Citadel. Let's toss her back.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens to her. Yeah, I don't care what happens to her.
Know.
You see, I don't know anything about that. I don't know if he did or did not know about the Citadel. But
he doesn't.
But I'm now more in John Meng's point where he probably took them there because they thought maybe they could actually save her, but not realizing that they're just going to eat her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
He did as much as he could. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll take it.
He did as much as he could.
He did not know where the Citadel was.
Yeah, but what's more important, a cameo by Mad Max or continuity?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to answer that. These movies feel like it's about continuity. But shrug. You know, so it's like, does it have to be?
It's not about motivation consistency. I know that.
Well, no, see, but I disagree with that because these movies are about continuity. But there are some. That's the sarcasm. There are some stories.
Maybe because Immortan Joe was very different from who he becomes in Fury Road, where I was like, why am I kind of okay with Joe right now?
Well, my guy died, that's why.
But I feel like Immortan Joe was a minor character, not a minor, but a minor character, especially compared to Fury Road in Furiosa, than you know. So.
Yeah,
it does seem like him and his group are kind of like in the background. They're supporting cast.
Another thing I liked. I'm sorry, since you just refreshed my mind. The other thing I liked is one of his helpers, one of his guys. He has these nipple rings that he was rubbing during the meeting between Dementis and Immortan Joe. I like that a lot.
Later? Yeah,
I like that a lot. He was rubbing his nipple rings and stuff. That was very funny. I like that.
Very weird.
He just off to the side rubbing his nipple rings. I thought that was very funny.
And then when Chris Dementis just gets them ripped off. Oh, God.
That could have been shot a little bit better because it took me a long time to figure out what was happening. Apparently, he had that guy in a vice, right? And then there was he was holding him in some sort of contraption of vice, and there was an arrow that he was pulling back and stuff like that. So if they got too close to him or whatever, or he didn't like how the meeting was going, he's going to let go of that arrow. And that arrow was also tied to his nipples. That's my final read of it and stuff like that.
Yes. But it was very confusing.
Yeah. It was shot a little bit weird. Like I said, a lot of it was lost by a new, the new cinematographer. I don't think my new guy is not as good as the old guy.
No, I agree. He didn't get it.
I don't know if he didn't get it, but the previous one is better. I don't disagree with that. The action sequences in Fury Road are shot better than this one. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. But I still enjoyed this movie quite a lot.
True. I mean, we're 6 hours into this. We'll wrap it up. Anything else? Anything else?
Yes, there are two things I want to point out. Not necessarily, well, I guess part of the movie. I'm not sure if you guys are aware about this, but apparently to bridge the transition between Alila Brown to Anya Taylor-Joy, they actually use AI to give Alila Brown some Anya Taylor-Joy's characteristics so that when you see them grow up, it kind of supposed to look more natural.
They gave the little kid a facelift?
They gave each other a facelift, sure. Essentially what they said was they gave
her a nose job.
Like in the beginning, Alila Brown had like, let's say, like 20% of Anya Taylor-Joy in her, and then the closer it gets to the point where they do the switch, it's more like 80%, and then they switch it. You know, Anya Taylor-Joy has 20% in when she first was in the movie from Alila.
Sounds like you're swapping DNA. What's going on here?
No, that's what they did. Apparently, that is what they did. They use AI to try and put some characteristics in her to and vice versa, so that the transition will be smoother, so to speak.
There you go.
I saw that on Reddit.
But the one thing that I would say is that after watching Fury Road, after watching this movie, Charlize from Anya Taylor-Joy night and day. Because one person has big giant eyes and the other one does not.
Yeah. One is also two inches taller. So I looked it up.
Yeah. So it's like, it's, you know, it's just like, you know, just take it as it is. You know,
but the thing I did notice when she goes and it's like, I need a car. It kind of sounded like Charlize's voice as
did.
Well.
It did. Like towards the end of the movie, it sounded like they were like putting some of Charlize's voice
in. Blended
in.
Yeah.
It did feel like that to me. I don't know if I can confirm that or not, but that's what it felt like to me. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah. I was like, wait.
Now, in light of the fact that it's decently known that a lot of Charlize and Tom Hardy did not get along very well.
In the majority of
the filming. Mm-hmm. They said by the end of the movie they got along, but like in the beginning they really, really hated each other, essentially.
WB the head ups had to fly down and control the whole situation.
Yeah, but
it was that bad.
But did you know that apparently George Miller did not allow them to show up on set when filming anyway? They were there in the area, but they were not allowed to be on set when they were filming. So Charlize Theron was still relatively on her own, so to speak. But besides that, now Anya Taylor-Joy has to make some kind of comment. That's that I'm like questioning now, is where she said like she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that this has been one of the most loneliest experiences I've ever had in the movie set. And then she goes, and then when the interviewer asks her, "What do you mean by that?" He goes, "Actually, you know what? Ask me 20 years from now,
when the NDA expires."
I don't know if it's an NDA thing or what, but go on.
Sorry, you go. Finish your thought, and then I'll jump.
So it's like her saying that in light of the Charlize and Tom Hardy situation makes a lot of people go like, "Wait, what happened now?" in freaking Mad Max, you know.
I think it's like one could be like, "Well, George Miller, what the heck are you doing?" But also, it's like you have these characters, and it's not like a method thing, but it's just. You're very isolated. You're in a desert. You're kind of like you're on your own kind of thing. And the characters are so isolated themselves. Like Anya Taylor-Joy, you know, you think about it. I don't know. Like I see where she's coming from, and it definitely should be like what is George Miller doing to these actors on the set of Mad Max? Because for one thing. Charlize and Tom had very different working ideals. You know, Tom was more methody. Charlize can snap in and snap out of it. Mm-hmm. And that really bugged her because she's like, you are insane. And that really messed up with their relationship. But yeah, I think also Anya was very lonely. And I can see that there's something going on, at least with the Furiosa character herself, that is not treated or is isolated both in the movie and outside of the movie while filming.
My whole thing is the Anya Taylor-Joy, to start with that. I don't think I can comment on it because there's still no greater context and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Okay. There's only been that one comment and there hasn't been any other things I've read or any kind of anything online. But going back to the Mad Max about that's to me that's 100% on Tom Hardy and Jordan Miller and stuff like that. Even though they're in separate places or whatever, there's absolutely no excuse for anybody, especially the star of the movie, to be like hours late. The big story that I read was like it happened so frequently. One time, Charlize Theron made sure she was on time in makeup, everything all set. She was in the rig, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Hardy was like 2 hours late.
She blew up three hours late. Yeah.
And just went off on him and stuff. That's when that producer came in and blah, blah, blah. There's no excuse for that kind of behavior. I don't care what you're... Because the whole thing about being method is like, to me, it's just like you're disguising like bad behavior, shitty behavior and stuff like that. Everybody knows Meryl Streep is like the best actor alive and stuff like that. Nobody's ever said a bad thing about Meryl Streep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, another famous method person is Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, when he played My Left Foot, my understanding was he was in character all the time.
The whole time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people had to carry him and all that stuff. But you know what? Nobody ever said anything about that because he let people know ahead of time. You know what I mean? So people knew ahead and people acknowledged that, would knew about it. And then remember, there's a famous photo of him. He's in that Lincoln makeup at like a diner or something like that for Lincoln and stuff like that. Anyway, my point is, he does the whole method thing is, but nobody's ever said anything about Daniel Day-Lewis and stuff like that because it communicates. He lets people know this is what he's doing and stuff like that. He doesn't put other people's jobs in danger or whatever. You know what I mean? He doesn't F up other people's shit. You know what I mean? So my whole thing with Tom Hardy is that's inexcusable and stuff like that. I'm Team Charlize Theron.
Absolutely. On that one. I think Tom Hardy hasn't apologized yet about the whole thing.
Yeah.
George Miller has said that he probably should have been more sensitive about it, which is like a half apology.
You know? Yeah, that's on. To me, that's on George Miller too. That is. I mean, to me, George Miller. Hey, watch your own movie, man. Your whole movie is about toxic male energy. You should probably learn from it. You got to step up, man. You got to step up.
He should have reeled him in a little bit better.
This is a bit of a tangent. We talked about Game of Thrones
I'm not done yet with that.
Go ahead.
So the thing though is that she said definitely had no beef with Chris Hemsworth. She did point that out specifically.
Yes.
Because she probably understand people are going to start to think of that. And she also said that if you're going to make a movie like this, you have to have George Miller at the helm. Which is a voice of confidence to George Miller. So the only thing I can think of, George Miller, old guy, he's an old-fashioned film director, and a lot of these kind of movies where the lead character is isolated from other people, they literally isolate them from other people. Because Chris Columbus famously did this with the Harry Potter crew in the first two movies, where the Slytherins and the Gryffindor were not allowed to associate during set when they're not filming. They're not allowed to associate with each other because you guys are supposed to hate each other.
Yeah.
You know, and I think George Miller might have done the same thing with Anya Taylor-Joy. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the movie, she's supposed to be a loner from everybody. Yeah. So I can totally imagine him going like, no, you can't associate with anybody. You got to stay in that corner. And
except Captain Jack.
Except for Captain Jack, sure. So that's the only thing I can think of.
And that's
I agree.
Yeah, and to that point, that means George Miller is insane. He has to grow up now. He has to get with the times. Because you're talking about like a lineage between that connects George Miller with old-timey directors like Hitchcock and Stanley Kubrick, because famously they would also torture the actors and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And you know what? If the thing is, times change. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You realize, you know, you can't mistreat women, especially this way and stuff like that. If directors did what Stanley Kubrick and Hitchcock did to actors today, they would get canceled. They would get Me Too'd and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's ridiculous. So come on, George Miller. Stop it. Stop it.
Yeah, well, after the box office, he may have to stop it.
The fact that he's 70, he's also 79, dude. 79, I think this is like, this might be like one of his last hurrahs. Yeah.
But he's old enough to be the president of the U.S., so there's that.
Wow.
Did it go there? Okay. Did you have final thoughts before we wrap this up, Jeremy?
My final thought is probably just give it a score, I guess. You guys want to give it a score? Because I already mentioned it, mine's in a generous B- range.
Anna?
Would give it like 3 happy emojis, 1 sad one, 1 heart eyes, and 1 explosion emoji. So like an 8 out of 10.
That's fair.
I will give it, well, my normal review would say I enjoyed it. So that's what I would say in my normal review, which is the same grade I gave Mad Max Fury Road. So I will actually give it the same grade. Because as much as I
emoji, explosion emoji. What
Well, in my grading scale, it's enjoyed it or a thumbs up. But if I was to grade it, I'll give it a B plus, maybe A minus. B plus A minus is where I'm leaning more.
Wow. Okay,
so how about that? Because I actually really quite enjoyed the movie. So
jumping again, did we watch the same movie?
I think we should start using Anna's system: emoji, heart emoji, sad face emoji. Pew, 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 pew sound. Yeah.
All right. Okay, there we go, folks. That's our review of...
We did it again.
Furiosa,
we did it again.
Mad Max Saga with Little Mad Max. You can find this podcast on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Stuff Junk Show. You can find me, Albert, on Instagram and Threads as well at Albert5x5.
You can find me on the social media, JIAMINGLOU.
You can find me on social media at Anna Voltage or on my other show, Most Extreme Ranking Challenge.
Music has been provided by Gloomy June. Updates, contact info, ways to support us, and everything else is on the show notes found on whatwordswhy.com. Before we wrap things... No, we're not going to do anymore. This was episode...
It's too long. It's been too long.
...of the Stuff and Junk Show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, this podcast has been a Who, What, Where's Why production.
We had a lot of thoughts about
Captain This is Jack. The reason why I don't like recording movie reviews the same day as the regular episodes, because I know it's going to go long. So,
Well, we have we're very strong, opinionated people who watch this, who watch the same movie, yet at the same time watch this different movie.
Completely blindsided me at the complaints you guys had.
Listen.
I don't know, do better. That's my reaction. Do better. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, man. Do better, better. I would say do your thing, but don't do your thing. Don't do it better.
Go the opposite.
Yeah.